What's up, everybody? We are recapping week four on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. For a four-week trial and a special $110 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, enter the promo code FFT. Woo! What a day of football. Chris Towers and Heath Cummings.
What's up?
No, comment on the day of football.
What's up?
All right, fine.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love football. It was the best.
Seriously, I mean, I was looking at the slate on Sunday. I guess I didn't take like a big general view of the NFL slate. And I was, gosh, these games kind of stink. All the good teams are either on a bye, like the Patriots, or playing a lousy opponent, like the Cardinals or the Packers or the Colts. You get the Broncos game could be good. But we had overtime, we had game-winning field goals, we had a penalty that led to a game-winning field goal after a missed attempt on a game.
Such Browns.
So Brownsy, but it was really a fun day. Fun fantasy day, too. Now, we have, we'll get to all the games, we'll do the winners and losers, but first, guys, I listened to your Saturday FanDuel podcast.
Oh, yeah? Thank you.
Johnny used to work on the dock.
It's Johnny, right?
It's Tommy used to work on the dock.
Tommy, oh, jeez.
I didn't even notice you did that.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it would have been weird if it was Johnny and Gina.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? You can't, you know, that would have been weird, but it's the same thing.
I would say,
other than getting the very important word and the first word wrong, I thought he did an excellent job.
Yes, I completely agree, and I thank you guys for doing that every week. It's very helpful. I should listen to it more.
I'm gonna have to do another bet, Undetermined, because I lost yet again.
Oh, another song?
We don't know what the bet is going to be just yet.
We had some suggestions sent in by listeners. One of them was that whoever lost had to do the entire podcast impersonating Adam Azer.
Let me hear your Adam Azer impersonation.
I can't. I'm not good with impersonations.
All right, you work on that. The listeners always have the best suggestions. Now, here's the big news around fantasy football. Marshawn Lynch will not play tonight. So, Thomas Rawls, what do you guys expect from him?
This is a big moment for this kid, because it's so rare for somebody of his ilk to get this type of shot this early in the year in this type of perfect system. And he looked so good last week. And he does that again, and even if Lynch comes back next week and he's healthy the rest of the year, you got to think Rawls is going to be a part, going to get touches, and his future is going to be more secured. I'm looking forward to watching him again. I want to know if that was all Bears tackling last week, or if he really is special.
I kind of feel like Fred Jackson's going to get more work this week than he got last week. You know, 5-7 carries, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think that's very, very likely, especially if the Seahawks play from ahead the whole time. I think Jackson should get 5-7 carries, and that probably still leaves 15-18 for Rawls.
Yeah.
Now, is Rawls better than Ameer Abdullah?
That's one of the things we may find out tonight.
No, I mean tonight, in tonight's game, start or sit if you have Ameer Abdullah.
Oh, I would start Rawls.
Yeah, I would too.
There's not nearly as many questions about his playing time.
Well, but Joik's not playing, right?
No.
And I feel bad for Zach Zinner because he had this great preseason and everybody's thinking, well, Joik's been awful. Let's give Zach Zinner a shot. Let's see some more Zach Zinner. And then he does it against Seattle. And
yeah.
Seattle's defense is not, in my opinion, and we'll find out, I don't think they're really susceptible to the type of runner that Zach Zinner is. I think Abdullah has a better chance of getting the edge. I don't think you beat them between the tackles.
Yeah, I think Theo Riddick could have a nice game in PPR because I expect Detroit to be trailing. Although I have a feeling that this game is going to be closer than people think. Just the Seahawks offense is not as good as we want it to be. They struggled against the Bears last week. They had the punt return for a touchdown that kind of opened things up a little bit. But still, I think Detroit's trailing. Riddick gets some catches. But Ameer Abdullah should too. But all right, so basically we go Rawls over Abdullah, right?
Yeah, and I didn't realize something until I was looking this morning for notes. The Lions now the only team left without a win.
Is that right?
There you go.
Wow.
There you go, Detroit. Big game.
Okay. LeSean McCoy could be out 3 to 4 weeks after an MRI revealed a new tear in his hamstring. We know what the situation is there. You want Carlos Williams, not Booby Dixon. Lance Dunbar hurt his knee, and this could be a long-term injury. I got a lot to say about Joseph Randall. We'll talk about him in a bit. Dez Bryant expects to be back in week 7. I'm still just not really buying. That just seems like an optimistic timetable for that injury. But it's good news. They're encouraged by Bryant. And Jordan Reed left, and he was evaluated for a concussion.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yep.
Didn't take long.
Gets hurt.
Yep. And he's had a history of concussions, too.
Second time he missed a game with a concussion back in 2013. I don't know if he's had other ones that he was able to kind of come back from earlier.
Well, it's a shame because obviously Jordan Reed, a good tight end, and tight ends are still pretty crummy. Let's do three winners and three losers from Sunday's NFL action. Chris Towers, you have the honors. Your first winner, please.
All right. My first winner, obviously Todd Gurley. He was a monster in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday. Just absolutely dominant.
Over 100 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was, you know, I said last week there was no way I could start him in his first week back, and that was smart. I started him this week, and I'm really glad I did.
Wow, you did, huh? That was risky.
I thought they would work him back in slowly early on, but they clearly aren't enamored with Trey Mason. The matchup was risky, but I think I have Marshawn Lynch in that league, so it was kind of like...
I see. Yeah, no, that makes sense. He got hot late. Trey Mason only had 2 carries, I think, and it looks like it's Gurley's job. Is that fair to say?
Until they draft somebody next year.
No, I don't know about that. Gurley looks pretty good.
Oh, he looked amazing. Games. That was one of the games. I was traveling all day yesterday, but that was one of the games that I was able to watch quite a bit of.
Okay.
And I don't really understand the Rams because they looked really good against Seattle and terrible against Washington and really good against Arizona.
Yep, they've beaten Seattle and Arizona. They've lost to Vic and Washington.
I don't.
Some Roethlisberger, too.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Avon Austin was big in that game.
He was.
Yeah, this might be happening.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I think it might.
I don't know.
You're kidding me. Are you serious right now?
He's been much more involved this season than at any point in his career.
Not really. I mean, he's been involved as a running back. He's not really doing anything as a pass catcher until this week. Previously, it was, what's his name? Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt, man.
Did anybody really say that?
Not us.
Let's just say he's on pace for 80 targets. He's never had more than 69. He's on pace for 56 receptions. You know, we're still waiting, and the rushing counts, you know?
It does, yeah, but now they have a running back, so.
Well, and the big thing was Nick Foles made some big boy throws yesterday. He put the ball in some places that I didn't really expect to see Nick Foles put the ball.
But again, I bought into Nick Foles as a decent fantasy option for the Pittsburgh game. He buried me with 6 fantasy points.
Right, exactly.
So I can't really see the
Rams.
There
was nobody screaming louder to start him that week in FanDuel.
And oh, really? We're singing louder. All right, winner number 2. Chris?
Jeremy Maclin. Second straight 140-yard game. He seems to have figured out, or at least, I don't know what it is, really. Heath, what's your thought? How is he doing this with Alex Smith as his quarterback? Heath's coughing.
Yeah, you got me all choked up. I mean, you just put a Chiefs wide receiver as a winner, and I don't really understand what – kind of like with St. Louis. Like, I don't think the Chiefs are really this bad where they're going to have to be playing from behind all the time. But if they are, Maclin's going to be a good play because everybody's coverage goes soft, and Alex Smith against soft coverage – That's where you want to see him.
Well, yeah, it's a good point. The last 2 games have been favorable for Maclin in that they've been playing from behind at Green Bay and then at Cincinnati. Also, the Chiefs had the ball for 36 minutes and 53 seconds in this game, and Alex Smith threw 45 passes. So I don't know. I'm actually going to make a case against Maclin here and say, is this the time to sell high, or do you want to wait because they have the Bears next week, or are you just completely buying in? But I think there's actually a sell-high case to be made because of game flow over the last 2 weeks for Maclin. What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm selling high for sure. Yes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It might be maybe the Jeremy Maclin owner is a winner after week four.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting it. Your third winner, Chris Towers.
Owen Daniels.
Oh,
I said Owen Daniels.
Just wait till next week.
Exactly. The Raiders continue to be an abomination against tight ends. It's unbelievable how bad they are. Through four games, they've allowed 32 receptions for 388 yards and six touchdowns.
They don't even try to cover tight ends.
It's amazing. Almost 10 targets per game going to tight ends against them.
And that's who Daniels plays this coming week.
And Owen Daniels plays them in week five. So if you need a tight end to pick up, Owen Daniels has to be your guy.
Yeah, and he has caught a touchdown in two straight games. Yep. Not a lot of yards, but he has a bad quarterback.
Man, I can't wait until the Chiefs play the Raiders and Travis Kelce gets three targets.
Heath, did you even catch that or what?
No, I didn't. I was already thinking of my own joke, so I didn't hear your joke.
Oh, my joke was that he has a bad quarterback, Owen Daniels.
Oh, yes, that's true. I don't think that's a joke.
Can you imagine if Gronk got to play the Raiders?
Yeah, they don't play this year, do they? No, they don't play the West. All right, Heath, your winners.
I went a little bit lower profile. Well, maybe not than Owen Daniels.
Oh, no, lower profile than Owen Daniels. No, so not, you picked a couple of offensive linemen.
Lower than Gurley and Macklin, I guess. Charles Clay was number one. He has built a rapport with Tyrod Taylor, and it kind of looks like, and this shouldn't be surprising, I guess, with the way everything else has gone for the Dolphins, but they downgraded significantly at tight end.
Who, the Dolphins?
It looks like it. They let Charles Clay go and brought in Jordan Cameron.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Charles Clay doesn't seem to get hurt quite as often as Jordan Cameron does.
Oh, that's the one thing I would disagree. Well,
not
Jordan
as often
Cameron
as Cameron. Yeah.
But Charles Clay has like a degenerative knee condition or hip.
But he plays through it.
Okay.
For now.
So here's the thing with Clay though. Just to point it out.
Okay.
If the Raiders are like that bad against tight ends, the Giants are just a little bit better.
Just a little bit better, yeah.
But this three games in a row for Charles Clay with a good game. He didn't catch a touchdown in this game, but he actually did have one called back. It was like a 30-yard touchdown late in the game that was called back on a holding call.
I think it was like a shot block or something, yeah.
Oh, it was a shot block, right. So, I mean, he had a monster game. 111 yards on 9 catches on 13 targets. No Sammy Watkins. But even still, I know it was a great matchup, but it's three games in a row, Heath, like you were saying. Tennessee on the road next week, then the Bengals, then the Jaguars. You feeling Charles Clay, huh? He is 77% owned, 61% started.
That's probably about right.
All right.
I would say, how many times would a player have to get his knee drained for you to feel uncomfortable about them?
Well, as long as he doesn't ever miss
like
more than two games a year.
How many times over the course of, like, once, twice? Like, if you heard, like, Gronk had his knee drained, you'd be like, oh, I'm a little worried about Gronk. Charles Clay had his knee drained 6 times.
And he's obviously tough. He keeps playing.
I don't know how you have that much fluid in your knee.
Just
I don't know if the body
back.
Can produce that much knee fluid.
Well, clearly it can.
All right. Heath, winner number two?
Atlanta wide receiver 3. Oh, no. Wait.
Wide receiver 2.
Leonard Hankerson. We kind of hinted at it last week. I think everybody just needs to accept it now. He is the second option in the Falcons passing game. And that this is an offense that is just producing points and fantasy points at an incredible pace. Hankerson's the guy.
Absolutely. Now, two big games for him, two quiet games for Hankerson. And I'll look up his ownership percentage in a second. Do you think he is going to be consistent? Or do you think he is going to be Marvin Jones, who was a huge letdown for fantasy owners this week?
And I think we need to address that as well, the Marvin Jones thing, because I heard some talk this morning about how A.J. Green got off to such a good start. And he did it playing from the slot, because the Bengals had seen what the Packers did last week. And that if you just line your best receiver up in the slot, the Chiefs will try to cover them with a backup safety.
Interesting.
And so I was really excited about Marvin Jones because I thought he's going to get a lot of Marcus Cooper or he's going to get a lot of the slot corner. And the Bengals said, why don't we just put our best receiver there and throw to him? And that's a pretty good plan. I think Hankerson's going to be better than Marvin Jones, but I do think he's still a boom or bust wide receiver 3.
He's got Washington this week. That could be a nice matchup. Then at New Orleans, at Tennessee, and then Tampa Bay. Hankerson is 30% owned, and I dropped him yesterday morning. So good for me.
He's got at least 6 targets in each of the last 3 games.
Yeah, and, you know, the Texans actually, I was a little worried about Julio Jones in FanDuel, even though I started him, because the Texans have done a good job against number one wide receivers. Hankerson took advantage. Julio Jones had a quiet game.
Yep.
All right, third winner for you, Heath?
Well, the running back one in San Diego, Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead.
All he does, I mean, if you look at the yards that Woodhead is producing on his touches and the yards that Melvin Gordon's producing on his touches, it's hard to think why they would continue to give Melvin Gordon more touches.
Gordon did get a goal line carry. He did not
get
stuffed. In. Yeah. That was that was, though, the whole thing, is that we hadn't seen goal line work, I don't think, since week one. And in week one, it was Woodhead.
Chris and I talked about this on the podcast on Friday. They had 9 running back touches in the red zone coming into this week, mm-hmm. and all 9 of them had gone to Woodhead.
Yeah, well, red zone and goal line, you know, they're not the same, but that is still a very telling stat. Yeah, all right, so Gordon better than Woodhead.
Although I will say that puts to bed the idea that Danny Woodhead somehow the goal line back.
Except for the fact that he got one chance and failed.
Yeah. And
so we'll see next time who they give it to.
Danny Woodhead's not the goal line back. Like, he might get some of the red zone snaps, but he's not the goal line back. Like, they're not going to go to a 5-6 guy on the goal line.
He's the best fantasy back in San Diego.
You know what? I think that it's very possible that they line up at the goal line and with 3 receivers or something like that, with Woodhead in, and give him a little inside handoff, and he runs it in. You know, and they're not going to line up in their goal line package with him.
Yeah, he'll get work, but he's not the goal line back.
Well, I don't even think it matters. The question is really, can Melvin Gordon have a good game without scoring a touchdown, which he hasn't done this year?
Can Melvin Gordon have a good game?
But yeah,
I think you just leave it at that.
It's frustrating.
And what part of the, one of the things Dave talked about a lot was that we were seeing this trend of Gordon getting more touches and Woodhead getting less. Well, now if you look at it over 4 weeks, week one, Gordon had 17. Week two, he had 17. Week three, he had 14. And week four, he had 16. So I think that's just where he's going to be, in the 14 to 16 range. And I don't know that he's going to have to get in the end zone, it looks like.
Who, Gordon?
With that many touches, yeah.
Yeah, look, they're both involved, but Woodhead's been better. All right, my three winners. You know what? Let's go back to Gordon. Rest of season, would you rather have Melvin Gordon?
Or Danny Woodhead?
No. Well, I know you'd rather have Woodhead. Melvin Gordon or Frank Gore?
I'd rather have Gore.
Yeah, I think I would too, because I feel like he's going to get more touchdown opportunities.
Melvin Gordon or the wonderful Lamar Miller?
I think Melvin Gordon.
I'd rather have Miller. The thing with Miller is he's not going to lose his job. The Dolphins might not.
Yeah,
do
but they
all.
Give him 7 carries a game.
What is his job?
What a joke,
I don't
man.
Think this can keep up for them.
Well, no, they're going to have a new coaching staff by tomorrow.
That's true.
That was really, truly pathetic performance.
What about the curse that I have put on Miami sports since I got down here? It is unbelievable.
Look, don't let Miami fans hear you talking down, because they're convinced that the Heat are going to the championship.
Well, I think it's like right after I moved here was when Chris Bosch got hurt last year.
What is wrong with you, man? Why do you do this?
And then I keep hearing about...
Leave Chris Bosch alone.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to... 3 winners for me.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't said it like that. That sounded so egotistical. The Cleveland passing game, I put that as a winner with a question mark, but Josh McCown has thrown over 40 passes in 2 straight games, and you know what? That makes Duke Johnson kind of interesting, and that actually makes Travis Benjamin kind of interesting, because Benjamin's been getting a lot of targets. 2 straight games with 10 targets. Only 10 catches on those 20 targets, but... All right, this is kind of like and Gary Barnage too.
That's the one I was hoping you weren't going to leave Gary Barnage out, because he made a spectacular catch in that game at the 1 yard line. Did you see that catch?
I didn't. No,
I didn't really think of Gary Barnage as the laying out at the 1 yard line catching the ball before falling out of bounds type of tight end, but he got 6 targets yesterday and caught them all.
Are you buying into Duke Gary Johnson, Barnage? Travis Benjamin, Gary Barnage being, you know, like at least streamable fantasy options?
I didn't. Even after last week, I was not buying into Travis Benjamin, and I'm still not.
I think he's, you should, somebody in your league should own him. Okay. He should be
right.
owned.
Doesn't have to be you.
Yeah. I'm just not sure he's actually that good of a wide receiver.
He's
but if
fast.
He's gonna get 10, if he's gonna get 10 targets a game, that might not matter.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like the 10 Ginn thing, except Ginn is more like opportunity, not necessarily targets, but touchdowns, but, what about Duke Johnson? Let's talk about Duke, because he was a beast in the passing game. They said, you know, a lot of times coaches say we want to get this guy out in space and they don't follow through. Well, they did. Duke Johnson, nine catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. And he had a goal line carry late in the game, but he didn't get in.
I think it's funny. In the first two games, he had zero targets in the passing game. In the last two games, he's got 17 targets and he's caught 15 of them. That's a trend.
They also didn't throw the ball nearly as much those first two games. I think they had 15 pass attempts in the second game. So there's not many to go around there.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because what is their identity right now? Are they going to be a team that throws the ball 40 times a game with McCown? I thought they'd be more of a running team, but they haven't been able to run the ball that successfully. If they are a passing team, then it certainly helps the guys we talked about.
They were able to run the ball pretty successfully yesterday, but that might be more about San Diego.
It has been awful against the run.
They're dreadful. Cincinnati wins 36-21, and Jeremy Hill is an obvious winner. He scored three touchdowns. I was a little concerned about the carries because he only had nine of them, and Giovanni Bernard had 13 of them. But a closer look reveals that the Chiefs had the ball for nearly 37 minutes, and Cincinnati had the ball for just over 23 minutes. And Giovanni Bernard, 10 of his 13 carries came in the final two drives of the game, and it was pretty much out of hand. And on one of those two drives, Gio got down to the one-yard line, and Jeremy Hill came in and smashed it in for a one-yard touchdown. So I think you got to be feeling good about Jeremy Hill.
I don't know about if I agree with that.
No?
I kind of feel like just looking at what he's done so far this year and the way that the direction his touches have moved, and the fact that I know that Kansas City had the ball a bunch, but he got nine carries in a win that they were in control pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, but Dalton only threw 24 passes. They just didn't run that many plays.
I would be making offers to sell Jeremy Hill this week.
You know, that's fair, because it is obviously more of a timeshare than I expected in terms of carries. Like, I want to see this guy get 17 carries a game.
And you missed the real winner from this game.
Yeah, who's that?
Cairo Santos.
Oh.
7 field goals.
Yeah, you see 36-21. You don't expect 7 field goals from Kansas City. That was a big win for him. Cairo Santos. And winner number three for me is Rob Gronkowski, because I'm just, you know, after week one, this great tight end week where Eifert and Kelsey were so good, I'm sorry, but Gronkowski is just miles ahead. Even after a bye, he's still 13 fantasy points better than Kelsey, who's the number two tight end. Kelsey's been a little bit disappointing lately. Eifert's been a little bit disappointing lately.
What a disappointment from Greg Olsen.
Olsen was, again, Cam Newton barely threw in this game.
Do you know who the number one tight end is over the last 2 weeks?
Gary Barnage.
Sure.
And how about Devontae Freeman? Honorable mention here as a winner. Yeah. 3 touchdowns again. What's your take on the Falcons running backs?
Well, I was going to get to that in my losers.
Oh, all right.
I feel great if I own both. If I own Coleman as an insurance policy for Freeman. If I just own Freeman, I still feel pretty good.
Heath, you could tell me about your losers after I tell you about Stamps.com. Now, you do whatever it takes to make your business run efficiently, but going to the post office, constant trips to the post office, it's annoying. It can really get in the way. Use Stamps.com instead. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your own computer and printer. It's so easy, so convenient. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. I'll sign up for that. Now, right now, go to Stamps.com, use our promo code, it's FFT, for the special offer that we're giving you, a 4-week trial, a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, enter FFT, again, Stamps.com, FFT, the promo code. Let's go to the losers. That's a harsh way to throw it to Heath and Chris. Let's go to the losers, Heath.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude.
I did not buy in last week to Devontae Freeman just ended the running back competition in Atlanta, and Tevin Coleman just got Wally Pipped. First off, because I don't think he was ever in a position to get Wally Pipped, because it was a timeshare beforehand. But one of the things I said was, now, if Devontae Freeman does this again and does it again, then yeah, there's not going to be any room for Coleman. Well, he's done it twice now. And the way he's doing, I mean, 14 carries for 68 yards, it's a little bit skewed. He only played 41 snaps because they just murdered Houston. But he had another 5 catches in this game for 81 yards. He's performing like an elite running back right now. I don't necessarily believe that Devontae Freeman is an elite running back, but as long as he continues to post numbers like this, when Tevin Coleman gets healthy, it's not going to matter. Tevin Coleman was the biggest loser and will continue to be if Freeman continues to perform like this.
All right, 2 more losers, please.
Jonathan Stewart. If you're not going to be good in that game script against that defense.
Well, he averaged 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you've got, I don't care if you're a starting running back that gets the majority of the carries, if the majority of the carries means that you get 10 to 12 carries and you don't get carries in the red zone.
Well, okay.
He may be the first ever droppable starting running back.
But the first 2 games, Stewart got 17 carries or 18 carries, you know, 17 in one, 18 in the other. The third game he got hurt. And then yesterday was weird. What's bothering me is that when I catch moments of the game and they're close to the end zone, sometimes it's Stewart, but sometimes it's Tolbert, and sometimes it's Cam. And he's, I don't even think he's sniffed a touchdown, like come close to a touchdown this year. I'm not sure about that. I know he hasn't scored one.
They're 4-0 against 4 bad teams. And yeah. His fantasy points per game, 8.1, 5.9, 5.2. 5.
Yeah, it's really bad. But I can't drop him, Heath, because you look at like TJ Yeldon, you know, it's like on a per carry basis, maybe these guys aren't good, but any running back, even Isaiah Crowell.
Right? I'd much rather have Yeldon than Jonathan.
Yeah, Stewart. Yeah. No, I would too, but I'm just saying in general, any running back who's going to get you 15 touches a game, you got to hold on to. It's bye weeks are coming up. Like you don't, 10 team league, maybe you have that luxury, but I'm with you. I mean, I'm extremely disappointed. He was one of my losers. Before
yeah,
I saw him
on
your
list.
You
I don't think you can bench him. He's drop him.
Well, you have to bench him.
Yeah, but I don't think you can drop him just because who are you picking up? Who are you picking up for Jonathan Stewart?
Exactly. I mean, are you going to drop him for Antonio Andrews?
You have to keep counting on the Browns trusting Josh McCown to throw the ball 40 times.
How about Antonio Andrews?
Well, Duke Johnson probably only needs 5 or 6 touches to do what Jonathan Stewart's doing.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, based on what we've seen in 2 games.
The other, well, what we've seen from Stewart in 4 games. Ty Montgomery, I got a little bit excited about. I think a lot of us got a little bit excited about him filling in for Devontae Adams. He got a touchdown. I didn't think he was going to be somebody you were going to start, but the second week in a row where basically the touchdown's the only thing that saved him in his first game. Had 3 catches for 15 yards in this one. Against a 49ers defense that's not good. And the Packers were a disappointment to me.
They were.
Oh, for sure.
They were a disappointment to everyone. They were one of the highest projected scoring offenses this week and scored 17 points.
Aaron Rodgers, 20 fantasy points per game on the road last year, 32 fantasy points per game at home. Just saying. And a lot of his games down the stretch are on the road. I'm not shying away from Aaron Rodgers. Just kind of throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't. It's not like he goes on the road and you're going to bench him.
No, but I probably won't be playing him in FanDuel in most road games.
Okay,
it's probably fair. The price won't match up to what you should reasonably expect from him.
Heath or Chris, your 3 losers.
I'm gonna double up on Broncos here and go with both Peyton Manning and C.J. Anderson. Peyton Manning is not good right now.
No.
He had managed to put up decent numbers for a couple of games, mostly because he was throwing the ball 45 times a game. This time he didn't have that volume. All of a sudden, 213 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. He hasn't looked good all season. He's had a couple of moments where he's looked fine, but he's clearly not Peyton Manning
anymore. We need somebody to start tracking dropped interceptions. This was not a game that I got to see very much of. But I did get flipped over to it a couple of times, and I maybe saw 6 or 7 Peyton Manning throws. I saw one of the interceptions, and I saw 2 other dropped interceptions.
It's unbelievable. It's every game. He has been lucky to be this good, and he hasn't even been that good, as
no,
Chris
he,
has said.
He should have 10 picks.
But I do think there are going to be enough games where he just throws the ball a ton and like throws his way into 22-ish fantasy points. You know what? Like, I think the bigger question. All right, C.J. Anderson. Is C.J. Anderson going to be the biggest bust in fantasy this year?
It certainly looks like it. He's done nothing.
Is he droppable, or are you still hanging on to CJ Anderson?
You can't drop him. You're in the worst possible position with CJ Anderson because you can't do anything actionable with him. Like, you can trade him, I guess, but you can't drop him. You probably can't start him.
Yeah.
At this point, he's still getting work. You know, any running back that, like we've said, any running back that's getting 12 to 15 touches per game, you have to own. It's just he's been worse. He's made Jonathan Stewart look good.
Ronnie Hillman, 65% owned. Now, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Do you just have to lower your expectations? Thomas has 3 90-yard games, but only one 100-yard game. It's just like, it's hard to imagine him having one of those 180-yard, two-touchdown games.
It's gonna have to be one of those. At some point, he'll catch a screen and go for an 80-yard touchdown and get there. But yeah, he's not. Like, he just doesn't have a good quarterback right now.
Is Emmanuel Sanders a must start in your minds?
I think so. Still, he's remained productive enough.
I think the only way he's not is if maybe you drafted Larry Fitzgerald later and that's your second wide receiver and it's not a league where he has to start three, but right, it'd have to be right. A situation where you hit big on a wide receiver late in the draft.
Other losers, Chris?
Colin Kaepernick. You know, I thought he could have a good game this week. I thought the matchup was good. I thought, you know, coming off maybe the worst game of his career, he had looked pretty good early on in the season, and no.
He's bad.
He's a disaster. Yeah. I don't think he's that far away from getting benched.
Well, and Torrey Smith didn't help him out much either. That's not a good combination of those two.
Let's talk about Carlos Hyde. Heath, you had Hyde as a loser last week. You just said his team's going to be too bad for him to do well. But this is 3 games of 6 fantasy points or less since week 1 in standard scoring leagues. And, I mean, what do you do with Carlos Hyde at this point?
I might trade for him.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe in his talent. Man, I wish, if the football gods could just shine down on us and have Carlos Hyde and Jonathan Stewart switch places.
No, Carlos Hyde and Joseph Randall switch places.
That wouldn't even be fair to the rest of the league.
He'd be a top 5 running back on Dallas.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess he kind of, it sounds like that situation in San Francisco is not very good right now. A lot of players not refusing to talk to the media, including Hyde, who just like didn't even say no comment.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if there's some. You wouldn't think this. I think maybe they didn't know like everybody else did. They weren't going to be good this year.
Yeah. Look, it's a messy situation. Hyde is so you would consider getting him on the cheap.
I think he's a buy low candidate, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to my 3 losers. Joseph Randall is a loser, even though he scored the touchdown. After he scored the touchdown, now it was originally ruled a fumble. It was a very careless play. Jason Garrett was angry, and he got benched for the rest of the half. That was the first half, and then he had 4 carries for 1 yard in the second half. So again, not a terrible day for Randall. He did score a touchdown, but still managed to come away as a loser. With Lance Dunbar getting hurt, they have no choice but to go with him unless Christian Michael, who probably should be on your radar, starts to get some work. Michael was active for the first time, but only got 1 snap. I think it was on special teams.
They did say there was a report before the game that he might start to see some goal line work, which if Joseph Randall starts sharing time on the goal line, that's pretty much it for Joseph Randall.
It's like, I know he's going to get the work, Randall, at least next week, right? I mean, you got to figure they trot him out there. He's still their starter. They're thin at running back, and I still think better than McFadden. But I don't know. It's like this guy is doing everything he can to lose the job.
Well, and one more thing he did. Did you see his quote from last night?
Yes. When, 6 points?
Drew Davison of the Star Telegram asked him to describe his touchdown/fumble play, and his only comment was 6 points.
Yeah, and that's just dumb. And another thing, schedule. I'm just going to look up the schedule because I remember it being pretty bad for him. Okay, so he's got New England this week, then a bye. Then at the Giants, and they're giving up touchdowns, but they actually are the number 1 run defense in the NFL. And then Seattle. So his next 4 weeks don't look so good. New England, bye, at the Giants, and Seattle. It could be okay against New England, but they could be trailing in that game, and he could be irrelevant. And weeks 14 through 17 for Joseph Randle at Green Bay. That's terrible for running backs. They never get 50 yards. The Jets. And then they're at Buffalo. But I'll look it up. But it is, I know it's at Green Bay and then the Jets in weeks 14 and 15.
I don't think Joseph Randle's done enough to where we can start looking 10 weeks ahead at his schedule and believe he's still going to be getting this kind of touches.
It's just like, who else are they going to give it to? It's at Green Bay, then the Jets, then at Buffalo in week 16, and then Washington in week 17 if you play into week 17. So it's just like the things are not lining up right now for Joseph Randle. I would sell him. I'm going to try to sell him in the one league I own him in.
Yeah. I'm stashing Kristen Michael in a couple leagues just because I think he might be the most talented back there.
Mike Evans is a loser for me. I just feel like it's going to be frustrating with the Buccaneers wide receivers and their passing game in general.
Buy low.
Yeah, I said...
Disagree.
Last week.
Buy low.
Disagree.
Mike Evans was going to have Josh Norman on him. He wasn't going to be good. Vincent Jackson was the play. If they play another team that has an elite corner that follows receivers around the field, then sure, don't play him. But any other time, I'm playing Mike Evans.
Yeah, what did he need? He needed 17 or 19 targets in week 3 to be really good. And this was a Vincent Jackson week. And I had the same fears I had for him going into the season, I still have now. He had 3 big games last year. I still think he's a very good wide receiver, but I just don't think with Jameis Winston that he's going to be able to take off. Yeah, there'll be some good weeks, but it's just going to frustrate fantasy owners.
That's fair.
Is that all 3 of yours?
No, and Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, we might have jumped the gun on that one a couple weeks ago.
Drop or stash?
I'll still stash him, but the last 2 weeks, the playing time hasn't been nearly as much as we wanted.
I had one more winner that I left out, Adam. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Me and our Roto baseball league.
All right. That was unbelievable. We went into to week 26 in a Roto league.
Tied, I think.
With an absolutely epic first 25 weeks. I mean, Heath and I, over the last month, I'd say, it would seem like every day we were alternating first and second place. It just, it was basically came down to who had more pitchers going that day.
Right.
Because the categories were so close. So I think I was actually winning going into the week. And then
you were.
After,
you had a slight lead, I believe.
After the first day, you had Scherzer and, I don't know, your Donovan Tur or something, and you had a huge Monday and you took the lead. But I had all my guys lined up for Tuesday. I didn't check the scores again until yesterday, Heath, because I didn't want to live through the roller coaster.
Oh, I've been living through it and then, tweeting about.
And I know you had Scherzer, who had 2 amazing starts, including one of the greatest games ever pitched. I lost by 12 points. The swing was unbelievable. You kicked the crap out of me in that.
That's the first time I've ever – that was maybe my most satisfying fantasy win ever, honestly.
It's just – I'm fine losing to you. I'm not fine losing to you by 12 points in a Roto League. That's a lot. And I deserve like a 2-point loss because our teams were both so good all year.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, I think it's pretty rare, and you've played a lot more of these types of leagues than I have, but I think it's pretty rare to finish the season in triple digits.
Oh, very rare.
But I finished the season with 100.5 Roto points. So,
and we were at like 92 going into the week.
Yeah. Yeah, my team really stepped up in the my team's clutch, Adam.
I guess so. Congratulations. How are your FanDuel teams this week?
My cash teams were very good. My tournament teams were pretty meh. Way too much Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
He was a loser candidate for me too.
He
got benched after fumbling.
Well, but he had a shoulder injury too.
Yeah, the way he runs, I think he's going to be susceptible to both injuries and fumbles, which is disappointing because I think he's really good.
Well, the fumble was just on a pitch, but the other bad play that he made was they threw the ball out to him like out wide, and he just like played volleyball with it and gave it to a Chicago Bears defender. So he was responsible for 2 turnovers. One of them went to Carr, and I still think, I'm sure you guys agree, he's the starter next week, and there's no problems there.
Absolutely, but there is a problem. He's playing Denver.
Oh, that is absolutely a problem. Now, FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football. The money's real. They're expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. Building a team's very easy. You pick your players, you stay under the salary cap, you sit back on Sunday, and hopefully you watch your team win. I know for a lot of us, you know, that's been happening. We've been having some pretty good success. Entry fees start at just $1. Anyone can play, and you should compete against us at FanDuel.com/CBSPod. That's our listener league, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. The details are right there on that URL. Go to FanDuel, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code. That code is CBSPOD. Not too hard to remember. Use that code CBSPOD. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play, a bonus of up to $200. Again, the offer code is CBSPOD. That's FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Going through the injuries and the games, Ben Roethlisberger could be back in Week 7. Brian Hoyer replaced Ryan Nallet yesterday at Atlanta. Sharkhandrick West played ahead of Nile Davis, Heath. Now, Davis was a little banged up from the Monday night game, but is that a changing of the guard? Do the Jamaal Charles owners need to pick up Sharkhandrick West?
I don't think so yet, but there are some people in Kansas City that think that West is better than Davis. I've always been pretty underwhelmed with what Davis has done. I mean, he's done good from a fantasy perspective, don't get me wrong, but he's not good. Like, it's not like if he becomes a free agent, somebody else is going to sign him as a starter. So he could definitely lose his job. I don't think it's happened yet.
Bilal Powell left with a groin injury. DeMarco Murray wants more carries.
Squeaky wheel alert. Sure.
You think he'll get him?
I think he gets him next week.
I'm just not sure he's going to do anything with them.
Yeah, that was a really frustrating game for them. You finally got a good performance and some downfield throws from Sam Bradford. We'll get to that game. But they've got New Orleans next week. Not exactly a defensive force. Wide receiver news, Demaryius Thomas left with a neck injury, but he came back in the game. Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington both got hurt. Shorts dislocated his shoulder. Washington, I think it was a hamstring.
Did Shorts get hurt on that final play of the game?
I'm not sure.
Because there was something weird that happened. I was watching Red Zone as it happened, and it looked like the Texans down by 27. Shorts was dancing all over the field with no time left on the clock, and then got hit and fumbled. And the Falcons thought they ran it back for another defensive touchdown.
Yeah.
It was a weird deal, but I think that was Shorts. So if he dislocated his shoulder, I feel like it had to have happened on that play.
Stevie Johnson left with a hamstring strain. Malcolm Floyd left with a concussion.
They only had two healthy wide receivers in that game.
They're getting Antonio Gates back in Week 5, and Dallas wide receiver Bryce Butler left with a hamstring injury. The Bears lost their center, Will Montgomery, to a broken leg on the first possession of the game, and Sean Lee left with a concussion. That guy can't stay healthy. It's very disappointing. But Dallas gets Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain back in Week 5. The Saints and the Cowboys will be our first game, guys. I'm going to read some emails as we go through games. So here's an email and tweets as well. Here's a tweet from Paul Robertson. Is Brandon Cooks droppable? Cooks had four catches for 25 yards on 8 targets.
He's on pace for 120 targets. You don't drop a guy with that kind of role in an offense, even with the production. And look, coming into the season, I didn't get why we were so high on Brandon Cooks. Like, I don't understand. What?
Well, how could you not understand? He's on pace for 120 targets. He's clearly Drew Brees' best option.
No, I'm saying coming into the season.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's why, because he was going to get 120 targets. That's why everybody was so high on him.
I mean, I thought,
guess, but we didn't see him do much with it. Like, I'm saying the 120 targets are the reason why you can't drop him.
You know, 120 targets, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is not that much.
It's a decent amount.
There's nobody on waivers getting 120 targets.
No, and I also wanted
There's one guy.
Who's that?
I planted my flag, and it's Allen Hurns Island.
Oh, yes.
The population on Allen Hurns Island is going to grow. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, Chris. Why don't you finish your Cooks thought?
Brandon Cooks, there's a difference between you can't drop him and you should be drafting him as, what, a top 15 wide receiver is where he was going?
I mean, who would you have taken behind him? Who would you have taken ahead of him that went behind him? The wide receivers at that point, Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin, were both out. You know, he went ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. That was
I would have taken DeAndre Hopkins in a the idea that Brandon Cooks was a better draft option than DeAndre Hopkins is insane. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins be good.
We saw Brandon Cooks be good.
We saw him have 3 good games.
He only played 10, right?
Yeah, 30%. That's not great.
He was a rookie. Hopkins had a lot of bad games, too.
Hopkins was in his second year and had 1,200 yards. That was insane.
Well, you were right about that one.
900 targets.
Cooks had very, very good coverage from Morris Claiborne last night. Claiborne did a great job against him. Cooks led the team in targets. So
yeah, you can't drop him.
I think we should do some Saints passing game trivia.
Okay.
Because Brandon Cooks is second on the team in receptions.
Yeah, the answer has to be Willie Snead, right?
Nope.
Oh, who? Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram leads the team in receptions at 22. Oh, we should update the standings because I got a lot of tweets about CJ Spiller last night. Ingram now leads Spiller 22-8 in receptions on the year.
And he had more receptions last night.
Yeah, he's had more in every single game. But Cooks is also second in yards to
Snead.
Willie Snead.
Yeah, so what do you make of Willie Snead? This guy's widely available. He played 66% of the snaps, which was second most among wide receivers, and had 6 catches for 89 yards. I'm thinking 14-team leagues, Willie Snead is relevant.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He's getting basically the same targets that Marcus Colston is,
right,
doing more with them.
We got an email about C.J. Spiller. It's from Travis. And he basically pointed out that Spiller did nothing until that 80-yard touchdown catch.
Right.
Would you drop C.J. Spiller for any of the waiver wire ads this week? What is Spiller's value?
I don't think you drop him now. If that game didn't go to overtime, then I think I'm dropping him. But because he did that, this is an offense that's struggling. And they paid plenty of money to bring C.J. Spiller in, and they just saw him win a game for them with an 80-yard touchdown. I think it's reasonable to believe that might lead to more touches. I just think I'm glad that he's thinking that way because Spiller's now had 14 touches on the year. His first 13 touches went for 81 yards and his last touch went for 80.
It was a good play. They got to get him more involved for sure. Breeze was clearly not healthy. Chris Collinsworth pointed it out. His throwing motion wasn't the same. He wasn't throwing the ball downfield. But
yeah, he looked solid on the first couple of drives, but fatigue was clearly an issue.
Any thoughts on the Cowboys other than what we talked about? Terrence Williams ended up getting at least 4 end zone targets and made an amazing catch. That was encouraging.
I feel really bad for Lance Dunbar. He was the best. He was the most talented running back in Dallas.
I think Whedon, from a Terrence Williams perspective, was encouraging. Whedon didn't just check down the whole game.
If you're, I don't understand why the Cowboys are throwing fades with Brandon Whedon to Terrence Williams in the end zone. It seems like the lowest expected value play you could possibly, and he scored on one of them, which is great.
They could be throwing him to Cole Beasley.
Why are you throwing fades with Brandon Whedon?
Yeah, what else are you going to do? It's still Brandon Whedon at the end of the day. Cincinnati 36, Kansas City 21. Travis Kelce, guys, since the 2-touchdown game to start the year, he's got 15 catches for 187 yards against Denver, at Green Bay, and at Cincinnati. The matchups have not been good. But what do you make of Travis Kelce right now?
I'm not making anything off of that game. And same thing for Tyler Eifert, because we went into that game knowing that the Chiefs and Bengals were both amongst the top 3 or 4 teams in the league against tight ends, both giving up basically right around 5 fantasy points per game to the position. So I'm not overly concerned.
Yeah, I think Eifert or Kelce could have a good stretch here. He's playing the Bears, who are fifth fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends, but they haven't played anybody. And they played Jimmy Graham, and he had a big game. Minnesota's 17th, Pittsburgh's 27th, although most of that was Gronkowski, and Detroit is 27th allowing a tight end to catch a touchdown in all 3 games so far. So it looks like the schedule's better for Kelce. I feel bad for Jamie because Andy Dalton played a great game. He just didn't have the multiple touchdowns. He only had 19 fantasy points, but 17 for 24, 321 yards, and Seattle at Buffalo, a bye, and then at Pittsburgh. I mean, is Andy Dalton a must-start next week against Seattle?
No. No, because if you have Andy Dalton, you probably have another quarterback that you feel okay about.
Well, I don't know that we can go there.
Why?
Because I think there's a lot of people that have Andy Dalton that had Tony Romo. There's a lot of people that have Andy Dalton that had Ben Roethlisberger. There's a lot of people that have Andy Dalton that had Peyton Manning.
I'm buying in, guys. I'm still on it.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'm not
against Seattle.
These numbers this year, I mean, have you looked at his stats so far this year?
Yeah.
10.2 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick.
He's playing great. You know, guys get better. I didn't expect it, but
He's had a 4-game stretch like this before, though.
Yeah, it seems more legit this time. They are really good. I completely buy into the Bengals. They could easily win the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure they play the Patriots this year in the regular season.
I'm pretty sure they're going to have to win a playoff game before they can win this.
Like, wouldn't you? I think I'd rather have like Alex Smith against the Bears next week than Dalton against the Seahawks.
No, not me. But it's. I mean, I don't. I see where you're coming from.
If it was at Seattle, I would agree with that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
At home, it's a little more questionable, but I'm not saying I disagree either. I'm undecided at this point.
Oh, they don't play New England this year. Well, that's disappointing. They play at Arizona. They play at Denver. Got some tough games.
I still maintain that Andy Dalton is going to lead a lot of teams to the championship game and then blow it for them on Monday Night Football.
At Denver? Yeah. That doesn't seem like a time you're going to want to start in week 16 at Denver.
But if at that point, if he's led you to the, he probably led you to the one seed. He leads you to the championship. He's the number three fantasy quarterback.
Let's calm down. Andy Dalton's probably not leading people to the one seed.
They're 4-0 if they've been starting him.
So listen. San Diego, 30. Cleveland, 27. Phillip Rivers. This guy's one of the most baffling players in fantasy to me. Like every year, he scored 32 fantasy points. That means he's got 24, 17, 11, and 32 fantasy points through four games. I think this sums up Rivers perfectly. He's 95% owned, 52% started this week. So, you know, Pittsburgh at Green Bay, Oakland at Baltimore, Chicago, and a bye. His schedule looks amazing coming up. What do you think about Rivers?
It would really help if he could get another receiver healthy.
Gates. I guess
it helps if he gets Gates back.
And you know what? Ladarius Green... he's caught two touchdowns in his three games. Is that a bad thing for Gates?
Well, they need to play Gates at tight end and put Green in the slot because they only have two healthy receivers. Like that's not an exaggeration. They started four receivers yesterday on the active roster. Two of them get hurt. That's why Dontrell Inman had 88 yards receiving.
Is Rivers in your top 12 rest of season? And keep in mind, he's typically a fast starter and a slow finisher.
Yeah, I would say no.
That sounds right.
Dalton clearly ahead of Rivers?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Tyrod Taylor or Rivers rest of the season?
I think Rivers is safer, for sure.
Yes, probably.
All right, I love this.
I don't feel good about it.
I love the upcoming schedule. I don't quite know what to make of Pittsburgh. They've been a little better than I thought defensively. But at Green Bay is usually a two-touchdown game because quarterbacks are chasing points. Yeah. Oakland, at Baltimore, those teams stink. Chicago. So it's favorable stuff. Jets, Dolphins. Any thoughts from this game?
The Dolphins are an absolute mess.
They sure are.
I don't know how a team with this much talent on defense, on the defensive line in particular, gets gashed as badly as they have been.
Are there any Dolphins you would buy low on?
No.
Lamar Miller, for sure. Without question.
No chance.
He's going to get more than 8 touches.
I also hope the bye week can get him healthy.
What?
When?
Come on. Like this is an unsustainable style of play. He's had like 7 first quarter carries.
Yeah, it's not like, I think when you say it's unsustainable, an unsustainable style of play, I would think like they're going to change it soon because it's not going to work. It's not working and they're still doing it.
Well, they've been trailing. Tannehill has the most pass attempts in the NFL.
Okay.
That is not what the Dolphins wanted to do.
So you think that they're going to start playing from ahead?
I think they're still going to be a better team. Like, they're not this bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I would absolutely buy low on Lamar Miller.
They also need to get Brandon Albert back. Hopefully that happens after the bye, because he will help their offensive line. Their offensive line is terrible.
Look, you might be able to get Lamar Miller for pennies on the dollar. This was a guy that we thought was an easy top 15 running back coming into the season. And he's got a bye coming up. So if you're in a good spot where you can afford to not have that, and the guy who drafted Lamar Miller, possibly as his number one running back, if you went zero RB, Lamar Miller was probably your number one. You might be able to steal him. And if you're giving
up him?
A number three wide receiver, he's been that bad.
Yeah.
And you're going to end up with someone who's 5 weeks into the season and has gotten nothing out of Lamar Miller. They're not going to have any room to stand on as far as demanding more for him.
Very frustrating that Rishard Matthews did absolutely nothing. One catch for 16 yards on 3 targets, and it wasn't even really a Revis thing, maybe for some of the game. But Matthews only got 64% of the snaps. They really distribute those snaps
That's been the problem.
Too much. But it's Landry plays all the time, and then the other guys are just kind of in and out.
That was the problem last season, too. They don't want any one player playing too many snaps.
Is Matthews droppable going into his bye week, or would you want to hang on to him?
I don't think it's crazy to drop him.
Are you guys as confident this turns around if Joe Philbin makes it through this week?
No. But, well, yes, to a
degree. You're thinking he's going to get fired.
I don't think they're one of the worst teams in the league. Like, I do think it will turn around to some extent.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that, even if Philbin's there. But I also think he's going to get fired. It'll probably happen today before people even listen to this podcast. Yeah. At least the decision will happen today. To Denver, Minnesota, we kind of covered this game. Adrian Peterson had a 48-yard touchdown run. Otherwise, he did nothing.
And that was
on a 4th-and-1.
Pretty fortunate.
Yeah.
He did not have to make a move, or no one, and no one touched him.
At least we saw that maybe you can trust Mike Wallace if you expect Minnesota to be trailing and having to pass, because Bridgewater had to throw 41 times. Washington 23, Philadelphia 20. Any thoughts from this game?
You probably have to pick up Chris Thompson. We haven't even mentioned him yet.
You really have to?
Sure. He played, I think he was second on the team in snaps. He played like 46% of their snaps. That's 2 weeks in a row that he's played. I think he leads the team in running back snaps over the last two games. I think you probably have to, yeah. If you had Lance Dunbar, why wouldn't you pick up Chris Thompson?
Well, yeah, if you have an empty roster spot. I'd rather pick up Duke Johnson, though.
Maybe. The playing time's not there for Duke yet.
There's only two guys in that backfield. There's three in the Washington backfield.
Yeah, but we've already seen Duke Johnson's only been good when Josh McCown's thrown 40 times.
Which has been each of the last two games.
Right. If we think Josh McCown's going to continue throwing 40 times a game, yeah.
I also think it's possible that Duke Johnson takes over the lead back role from Crowell.
It's possible, but I don't expect it.
I don't think they believe he can stay healthy in that role, and I don't believe he can stay healthy in that role.
Are you encouraged by Sam Bradford, or did this just kind of feel like a fluky game?
Yeah, he was fine. Like,
terrible.
I don't believe he's
percentage.
Going to start throwing the ball down the field consistently. He hasn't done that since like 2011.
I'd seen this earlier today. Duke Johnson's percentage of snap counts so far this year from J.J. Zachariasen, 43% in week one, 53, 53, 61 yesterday.
Okay. Chicago 22, Oakland 20. Derek Carr, good but not great. Only 17 fantasy points. Any takeaways from this game?
I was really disappointed. I mean, Amari Cooper made an incredible touchdown catch, but on nine targets, he needs to give us more than 4 for 49.
Is Jay Cutler a guy you want to own? He had 21 fantasy points, played courageously through injury.
If Alshon Jeffrey gets back, he's in that like 15 to 18 range. So if it's a two quarterback league,
Eddie Royal's going to have a really big week this week.
My goodness, I really feel bad about this. Did not mention Arian Foster yet, one of the worst performers in fantasy. Are we okay with him? Is he like a great buy low candidate right now, Arian Foster?
Yeah, I think there's a reason he only got limited work, and that's because they wanted him healthy for Thursday against the Colts. I think you'll see an unleashed Arian Foster on Thursday, and I expect him to be much better.
How about these three games? You got a Thursday game against the Colts at home, at Jacksonville. Actually, I think they've been better than expected, and then at Miami. Although, I mean, I know the Patriots running backs ran all over them, but at Miami.
And then Tennessee.
And then Tennessee. So, looks like good things ahead for Foster.
If you told me that Foster was a top five back over the next 4 weeks, I would just shrug and say, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's why you drafted him.
Right.
Giants-Bills, Giants 24, Bills 10. Eli Manning, three straight games with either 23 or 24 fantasy points. Only one interception this season. He threw it yesterday.
The interceptions are coming.
No, they're not. No,
yes,
they're not.
They're not.
How many do you think he threw last year?
He's a different. Yes, he's a different
many?
Quarterback. I know. Over the last two seasons, he's a different quarterback.
Yes, it's a different offense.
He's not chucking the ball downfield.
Then they're not coming.
On every play.
I mean, he'll throw some. He threw 14 picks last year.
Yeah.
That's what he is now.
One on 143 pass attempts.
Any takeaways from this game, guy? All right, here's my takeaway. I hate the Giants running back situation.
Yep.
You're never going to know which one to start.
I want none of them.
Reuben Randall's interesting. You know, I don't think he's good. He led to Eli Manning's interception, by the way. But if Cruz is out, I feel like Randall's a guy you might want to start.
I was disappointed that Booby Dixon didn't get
shut up
after all the talk we had about him last week.
I'm not giving up on Tyrod Taylor. I think Sammy Watkins really would have helped him in this game.
Are you going to drop Booby Dixon this
week?
Well,
and
I already dropped
Taylor.
Booby Dixon. I dropped him 2 days after I picked him up.
Worth pointing out, I believe he had like a 30-yard touchdown run brought back. The Bills have way too many penalties.
Yep.
But I believe he had a late touchdown run.
And a late touchdown pass called back.
Yeah.
So he could have had a big game. Indianapolis 16, Jacksonville 13. We are just not going to get to everything here, and I apologize. I went too slowly. So take a look at the notes, guys. We got the Colts game, the Carolina-Tampa Bay game, the Packers game, and the Arizona game. Is there anything that we need to touch on here?
Doug Martin, I think, broke 100 yards against a pretty good Carolina defense. Also got involved in the passing game with 5 catches for 37 yards and scored a touchdown. That's encouraging, although unfortunately most of the people that had Doug Martin probably benched him this week.
But, I did.
Yeah.
He was 22% started. But doesn't Jonathan Stewart kind of feel like Doug Martin? Like, there's no reason why he can't have a big game. It might be on
the
bench.
I like Doug Martin more because I think there's a better chance that Doug Martin gets a touchdown, and there's a better chance that Doug Martin gets 20 touches.
All right. That's fair. Okay. By the way, Cameron Artis Payne got 7 of his carries in the fourth quarter when Carolina was up pretty big, so I think that's why Jonathan Stewart only got 10 carries in that game.
I think I would sell high on Vincent Jackson coming off this game.
John Brown got 10 targets, 7 for 75. One of these weeks, he's going to have 2 touchdowns, and I'm going to have a bunch of them on FanDuel like I have every week.
Not a good day
for
David
Johnson.
One of
these days, it's going to pay off.
Yep.
Not a good day for David Johnson. Chris Johnson still looks good, which is bad for Ellington, but Bruce Arians wasn't happy with David Johnson. He fumbled the open kickoff.
I don't think David Johnson's going to happen this season.
David Johnson
caught a touchdown.
Had 4 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he dropped the touchdown and he fumbled the opening kickoff. And Bruce
Arians.
Yeah. Bruce Arians said he played like a rookie.
Oh, right. A lot of his work came after those mistakes. Like, he didn't get benched for those things.
Right.
Well, everything came after the opening kickoff fumble.
That's how football works.
Pretty much by definition.
Johnny used to work on the docks. Johnny and Tina, right?
That's kind of like the opening kickoff.
So it is Tommy.
It is Tommy.
Absolutely.
Are we sure?
Tommy.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah. And did we find out what your slippery when wet was? I thought it was 1984. I thought it was my birth year. It's either 84 or 86. Let's find out, Heath.
I'm pulling it up
right
86,
now. 86. 86.
86, yeah.
Good for you.
I can remember coming home from soccer games, just laying on my bed, plugging that into the cassette player and jamming out.
What a freaking album that is.
Oh, man.
Let It Rock, which
just
is not
bangers
bad.
Bangers on bangers.
You Give Love a Bad Name, which is my favorite Bon Jovi song. Living on a Prayer, Social Disease, which sucks. Wanted Dead or Alive, which is
I was
good.
Not allowed to listen to Social Disease.
Really? Yeah. Oh, because it has the moaning at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. That song is basically just a porno on tape.
Raise Your Hands. What a great song. Spaceballs. Without Love is lame. I'd Die for You is okay. Never Say Goodbye is cheesy but fun. And Wild in the Streets is whatever. All right, that's it. You've just gotten your Slippery When Wet education. Chris Towers, go read the lyric book. I'm Adam Azer for Heath and Chris. We'll see you tomorrow.